think there's a beautiful kind of irony to get a cold, especially in Lent, instead of having to suffer in Lent by listening to a long sermon. Perhaps instead we can be invited to consider the mysteries of God with a shorter sermon. It is an incredible reality to consider the readings this week. Think about it in so many ways. Some of the most exciting, most heartening words you can hear is the great declaration, "It's a boy," or "It's a girl." This idea that new life has been brought into the world, this great and exciting and truly remarkable and truly thrilling moment where we witness new life coming into the world. How much more so for Abraham, who has been promised these great descendants, many as the stars in the sky, sands on the seashore. And yet, so far he has just one. And God says to him, "Abraham, take your one, your beloved, and give him back to me." It's a terrifying prospect. This idea that Abraham is now asked to give up this great joy, this precious one, who is indeed so very important to him. It seems bizarre that a God of love would ask for such a sacrifice that we might lose a child. And indeed, so many ways, it's not that God would ever ask us to kill our children. That would be bizarre and disturbing in so many ways. But what's God asking of Abraham is his total faith, his willingness to give everything over to God, to put all of his trust in God's hands. In some ways, we actually witness that even to today. God asks for that trust. God asks for that total gift of self. And time to time, he may ask a child from you, not in some kind of bizarre holocaust, but to give up that child for the sake of trusting over to God. Consider for a moment the poor Clares in Rockford. Once they enter that convent, they don't really leave. In so many ways, those parents are asked to give that child back to God. It is that brave sacrifice, that total trust. But even as we celebrate this great moment, if we consider the great moment of celebration, when a child comes into the world, you know, film and television will always try and capture that exciting moment, that precious moment when a new life comes in. You show the sleeping child or the little child just wrapped up and smiling up at the camera, or perhaps just sort of sleeping in the front of the camera. I tell you, my mother will always be the first one to point out that that is not a newborn baby. But something truly remarkable in that gift, that great joy, that moment of incredible happiness. But if we think about it, even in that moment of incredible happiness, it takes a lot of struggle just to get there. It took 9 months of pregnancy for a woman to bravely carry that child forward, and trust me, those 9 months are no cakewalk all by themselves. And then leading up to the actual birth itself, of course, there's labor. And if you really want to know what pain is, just walk up to a woman who's given birth and tell her that labor isn't that hard. Trust me, they'll help you redefine pain very quickly. But that's where the good comes from. That good comes from our willingness to know that it comes with sacrifice, that it comes with hardship, that it comes with difficulty. And that for the many goods that we have, the many incredible gifts that we have been given, they come with the expectation that we have to try for them. There's a saying among the theologians, there is no salvation, there is no heaven without the cross. And we're reminded of that very clearly in Scripture. We jump ahead to Mark, and we have this moment of transfiguration. We have this moment where Jesus is made dazzling white, and he's there between Moses and Elijah, these two great men of the Jewish faith, this great witness and all the things that they've done, and they, Peter, James, and John, stand there in awe. It's terrifying. It's this overwhelming moment where they come face to face with this great reality, this great God, this great moment of joy. And of course, they want to keep these things going. They've got Jesus, they've got Moses, they've got Elijah. They want to keep it going. To this day, I have no idea how we knew that they were Moses and Elijah. I'm hoping they wore name tags or something to identify themselves, but they want to keep this great moment going, this great and joyful moment. So let us build tents. We'll keep you here. We'll have this incredible opportunity to live into this joy and this joyful moment, and it will be incredible. And then it's gone. The cloud comes. The voice says, "This is my son. Listen to him." And they're gone. Not to say that we should be mad that joyful moments are gone. But in so many ways, we have to remember that with these incredible moments of joy, these incredible moments, this hope for salvation, it comes with a great deal of sacrifice. And even Jesus points to that. He says not to tell anyone what they have seen until he's risen from the dead. I want you to consider that for a moment, not in the light of knowing what would happen next, but for a moment in the eyes of the apostles who are talking to their friend, their confidant, this close personal friend of theirs who is now told not to say anything until he rises from the dead. Really, at that point, the only appropriate response is probably, "Jesus, if you have a few minutes, I'd like to talk to a few friends of mine in white coats. They're very friendly and they'll listen to all of your problems." Because he sounds crazy. He does. To think otherwise would probably border on crazy ourselves. But as a reminder, that in order to live into the transfiguration, in order to live into the heavenly realities, the great promise of God, the great reality, the great hope for salvation in heaven itself, does not come without the trials, the tribulations, the difficulties, the setbacks, the sorrow, and the frustration we encounter in our daily lives. Jesus did not open the gates of heaven until he first died on the cross. Our salvation comes despite, through, and with our setbacks, our sufferings, our pain, our difficulties. It is through the cross that we have salvation. And while we may want the good part at the end, the great promise of love, the great promise of hope, the great reality of salvation, it does not come without the suffering. As we come into this Lent, as we celebrate the second Sunday, it is worthy for all of us to stop and reflect. Do we see our suffering in light of the salvation to come? Or do we look at our suffering and get mad at God? Do we allow our suffering to keep us from God by being mad at Him? Or do we see it as the great gift by which we can come closer to Him and the means of our salvation?